You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So something weird going on here, or something you don't see every day anyway. Liam Hendricks is the runner at second base for the White Sox as we begin the top of the 10th.
I think he probably volunteered. He said, yeah, I'm in for a Vaughn right now. I'm going to run, too.
So here's the pitch. Garcia's going to take off for second base. The throw down by Barnhart gets him.
I don't know what we're doing. No idea. He's one of the best throwing catchers in all of baseball. I have no idea why you'd be trying to steal with a runner on third base, a pitcher who's not going to be on a double steal. Just feel that Larry Garcia must have thought, because the infield was drawn in, that he could beat the shortstop over there. And he was out by a good bunch.
Base hit wins it for the Reds. Hendricks looking to keep him out of that. Brings home the 2-2, and it's into center field. The Reds have won the ballgame. 1-0 the final after 10. Jesse Winker pokes a single into center field, and the White Sox fall.
Yeah, it was no good. My man Hoodie was on the pre and the post, and network Jonathan handled it like a pro. And then the real Jonathan Hood came out on the Waddle and Sylvie show, which was freaking hilarious.
Now, they're both still Jonathan Hood. They're still Jonathan Hood.
Different people.
There's many layers to me, as you can see. There's many layers to me, right? And so it just, you know, as a White Sox fan, no matter what I'm doing, pre or post or working with you, doing a podcast, whatever it is, it's just the Sox mean the most to me in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my team. I'm a South Sider, so I relate to the White Sox. I relate to that team more than any other team in the city. And so the thing I look at is, boy, it's been so few and far in between where the White Sox were like contenders, where the window is open. I haven't said championship window in a long time. I didn't say it in 2005.
It was a surprise.
Yeah, nobody saw that coming.
06, you did.
06, like, 90 wins, then 90 losses.
Right.
I didn't think of championship window. And the same thing here, it's like, now, when you see the White Sox, you see the youth on the team, and you say, it's an opportunity here for the next 7-8 years for you to be able to knock it down at least once, at the worst once. But to be a perennial champion, to get past the Twins, that means something to me as a Sox fan. And so when Sox fans criticize Tony La Russa, you know what they see? They see the opportunities like, man, the Sox could maybe win a championship here. Tony's the manager. Okay, set that to the side. Can the team win? You just don't want to damage your opportunities by beating yourself in a position where you're trying to win a championship. That's all. That's why people get frustrated. I think any sports fan that's smart is like, man, I want my team to win, but I don't want us to beat ourselves. Hey, let other teams beat our ass. Let's not beat our ass at the same time. That's what you don't want.
Yeah, and from sitting there as a baseball fan watching this unfold and watching Twitter have a meltdown, okay, you didn't like that the guy stole. I didn't agree with the guy stealing either. I get it.
That was La Russa's call.
Agreed. But that didn't set the world on fire like I didn't know that rule. When James Fagan, here it is.
Tony, Osada using Hendricks as the runner in the second inning, was that a intentional choice? As the rule book says, you could have used Abreu as the pinch runner in that case.
Well, you have to use the guy who made the last out. And that was Vaughn, not Abreu. So Vaughn made the last out.
The rule book, the MLB.com said, if the player in the batting order immediately preceding that half innings leadoff hitter is the pitcher, the runner placed on second base may be the player preceding the pitcher in the batting order. Did like the umps explain anything like that? Or?
Well, you know, I didn't know that. We all thought that Liam was going to be the runner, and that's why I wanted there, because if you wanted a double switch to keep him in the game, if you look at all, you know, Abreu back to Moncada and so forth, that's not who you want to double switch out of the game. I wasn't aware that Abreu could have run. I thought it had to be the guy who made the last out or that spot in the order.
That is what set the world on fire yesterday for White Sox fans.
It doesn't have to be that deep, though, Cap. Let's take a look at the surface. You're managing the ball club. Do you really want your closer at second base? Don't you? You have several guys that you can pinch run, don't
mm-hmm.
you?
Mm-hmm.
What about that? Like, if you didn't know the rule, Say you didn't know the rule, but yet you still want to have someone else other than Hendricks out there. Wouldn't you make that move? Or if you can't make that move, someone should be able to tell you, hey, you don't have to have your closer out there. And just say, for instance, Hendricks had enough for the day. It's like, okay, he was able to get us to this point. I'm going to get the bullpen warm. Do you have to bring Hendricks back out for the next inning if you don't score? Do you have to?
No.
See, there's options there, is it not?
A lot of options.
Okay.
A lot of options.
Now, that one of the last options, that, like, I'm not thinking I'm going to put Hendricks out there.
And you have a day off today.
Right. I don't have to bring Hendricks out for another inning. That's another layer to it.
Correct.
But on top of that, I was disappointed in the Sox offense after the night before, leading and winning 9-0, and then only scratching out two hits. I know that's baseball. I just didn't like that effort offensively. It was a better pitching duel than I thought it was going to be. I literally liked what I saw from Keuchel. Keuchel against Gray was better than I thought it was going to be.
And Sonny Gray has not been good this year.
No. But then that's the Sox, right?
Right.
Home run or nothing.
Correct.
And that's where I want the in-between.
So that was my point when I got all fired up that, okay, should he have stolen? Absolutely not. It was dumb. Should he have had Billy Hamilton? Absolutely not. Dumb. But those are baseball moves, whatever. We can all argue those. You don't know the rule. You're the manager of the team, and no one on your coaching staff knows the rule. But the media asked David Bell, the manager of the Reds, did you know that rule? Yes. It was made very clear to all of us in spring training. Well, where were our guys?
The point is that Len Casper and DJ, we've already taken these calls this morning, that these two need to know the rule. Why? They don't manage the ball club.
Correct.
You had a Hall of Fame freaking manager in there. You have Miguel Cairo, and I'll continue to bring it up, Cap, until it's not a point of reference anymore. It's a first-year bench coach. Can you tell Tony these things, and will Tony listen? I don't know the answer to that. I'm not
correct.
Saying no. You got a first-year guy in Katz as your pitching coach after all those years with Don Cooper. Can you go over to Tony and say, hey, man, 100 pitches. It's like you when you were coaching. Coach, he's got three timeouts. He's got three fouls here. He's got four fouls, coach. Because you need to know that information as a head coach, right?
Correct.
You were that guy's assistant telling the head coach, hey, be careful here,
yep.
Right? So I don't know if these first-year guys have the ability to tell TLR these things. I don't know. But the thing is that it looks bad. You want to change the narrative, Cap. Not change the game, change the narrative. The narrative is that Tony La Russa is out of touch and shouldn't be managing the ball club. It should have been someone younger. And you want to change the narrative that he knows what the hell he's doing. But when you're sitting there doddering and looking into the Zoom, say, I don't know. You can't. James Fagan is not supposed to tell you what's going on with the rules.
Agreed.
And I blame the coaching staff, not just Tony. I blame the coaching staff or someone that's there at the ballpark in Cincinnati not being able to know. That's disappointing. And then on top of that, you're sitting Garcia. You know why? Because the infield is playing in, so they thought you could seek a stolen base spot. Why would you do that?
Let me ask you a question.
Why would you do that?
Would it be inappropriate on a day off today? Where are they in Kansas City?
Kansas City this weekend.
Okay. Yeah. If Rick Hahn wasn't with the team, that he got on a plane this morning and he flew to Kansas City and he said, hey, get some sleep. I know it's been a long run. Noon, we're meeting in my suite. I want the entire staff there. And there's Ethan Katz and there's Miguel Cairo and there's this guy and there's that guy and there's TLR. And I walk in and I'm the general manager. Guys, I have had your back. I think we've all come together here and put a pretty damn good team on the field. I know we've had some injuries. If you guys don't know the rules, that will never happen again on my watch. I'm the general manager, and in the end, if my team wins or loses, it's going on my resume too. So I didn't agree with the steal. You manage the game how you want. Once you get the lineup card, it's your game. You don't know the rule, but the other manager did, is unacceptable, and it's the last time or there will be changes on this coaching staff. Have I made myself clear? Dismissed. Is that inappropriate?
In this situation with the White Sox, it might be.
Why?
That's not Rick's hire.
Doesn't matter. He works for Rick. Does he? Does he work for Rick or does he work for Jerry?
Well, just be careful now. Now, what you said is right. But with this White Sox team, does that work?
I'm not saying you have to MF people in that meeting.
No, no, no. I just said you're right. Does that work with this organization? Can Rick do that?
He better be able to.
Can he? No, Hoodie's right. The power dynamic is not necessarily clearly laid out.
Okay.
We don't know the flow chart of the White Sox organization.
So you're not.
It's a good point.
You're not getting what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying?
No, I'm getting it. So okay. I'm asking you.
Yeah, okay. What you're saying is right.
No, you're Jerry. I'm Rick. This is last night. I have dinner. I calm down. I don't get emotional on the phone. About 8 o'clock, I make a phone call out to Arizona. Jerry, I am flying to Kansas City in the morning. I am going to meet with the staff.
Why are you doing that for?
Our manager didn't know the rule, and no one on the coaching staff apparently did either. And that cannot happen again. I just want to make sure you're okay. I'm going there to lay the law down that cannot ever happen again.
Do it with peace and love. Take the base out.
I will be very respectful.
That's
but saying. I'm going to lay the law down.
Okay.
You're right. You're 100% right, Cap.
You're the owner. What are you saying to me?
Well, I would do what Jerry always does. Let the general manager generally manage.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I just don't know what that looks like up there. I don't know. Remember, this is not Rick's hire. Can you go in with bass in your voice saying that can't happen? He should. And I would imagine that Rick and Tony have a conversation every day. Is it the same dynamic that like David Ross had with
Theo and Jed?
With Theo and Jed? I don't know. Is it the same situation where, you know, the Bulls brass talk to Billy Donovan after every game? Do they? I mean, I know that's a fact.
They do, right? They do. I know Billy talks to Doug Collins, I've been told.
Every night, right?
After every game.
Yeah, so I don't know what the dynamic there is with that. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but it just one of those things where I like to know how much does Rick have. I know that I'd be pissed off. Hey, you know, when we had Rick on before opening day, he was joking about a mistake that La Russa made.
Right.
Do you remember this? The five run, was it on the road?
Mm-hmm.
The Sox gave up 4 or 5 runs or something like that, a bad inning. Because the middle reliever was in there too long.
Correct.
Foster, was it?
Correct.
That's what it was.
Correct.
And he made a joke with it because he knows that that was bad too.
Correct.
Can he say that? What do you think?
I think he can. If he does it with respect.
Can he say it the way you said it?
Yes.
A little bass?
Yeah. I think if he comes in and goes, okay, it's F in this and F you get. No. Tony's going to. And rightly so. That's not how you deal with people.
And I don't think that's Rick anyway. That's Kenny.
Right.
That's why
I think Rick very eloquently and very directly
is
going to say, okay, let me just, so everyone's on the same page.
Yes.
Either learn the rules or I'm going to get someone in here who knows them. Have I made myself clear?
Yes. That's probably more like Kenny than Rick in that regard.
There you go.
I'm just saying, because Kenny's tough, right?
Yep.
Kenny's got the football mentality. He wants to win every, not saying that Rick doesn't, but it's a little different demeanor, I think.
All right. It's your turn to vent about your manager, Sox fans, and last night's national embarrassment. 312-332-3776. Your calls next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Cap 312-332-3776. 919 in the great city of Chicago. Jim's in Beverly. You ready, Hoodie? Let's go with phones.
Yes, Jim's in Beverly, and I'm jealous.
Hey, Hoodie. Hey, Cap. You guys, best thing to listen to in the city as far as sports. You guys are gentlemen.
You're the man, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
And I am. They used to refer to me as the mayor of Beverly, so when I owned the White Hen Pantry back there. Hey, listen. I was a baseball official for 50 years. I think for my first rule interpretation meeting, they stressed that as far as relations with a manager, that ignorance is no excuse, that managers are expected to know the rules. And, you know, Tony is my age. He lost the trifecta yesterday, starting with not knowing the rule with Liam, then the stolen base attempt. And then sitting with Collins and Mendick on the bench, and Billy's failed so many times at the plate. It's very disappointing. Even last last night with the Cub game, one of the things they stressed was that Rossi will go balls out to or gonads out to win the ball game and use the entire bench. So for them to suggest that not using Collins in that situation, he's saving a catcher. Yeah, that's crap. So I love Tony, but I have as much confidence in him as I do with Joe Biden having access to nuclear football.
Wow. Have a great day, Jim.
Take care, guys. Love you guys.
Appreciate you.
Jim and Beverly, a real American. That's what I like.
Thanks, Rush. Let's go to Tom in Elkhart. Hey, Tom.
Hey, I used to listen to you and Cap, or you and Waddle on the Downey Dial, and called in a few times, and I will tell you that I've been a sports official for 37 years. And my question to you is when you were a head coach, did you know all the rules?
I hope that I did. I don't know that I did. I'm sure I did not.
It was basketball. You knew all the rules.
I think I did. I think I knew when we got immediate timeout and when we were allowed to do certain things. I think I did. Yeah. I don't know. I can't answer that. All I can tell you is, in this role, the guy to my left, Jonathan Hood, the guys across the glass, JR, Danny, and Jeff, and me, it ain't our job to know the rules. It's the job of the Hall of Fame manager.
I'm just letting you know that in my 37 years, I knew probably, I could count on both hands how many coaches actually knew a rule and the interpretation of a rule.
Yeah, how many were Hall of Famers?
And I'm not a major leaguer.
How many of those guys were Hall of Famers, Tom, that you ran across?
And were you a major league umpire?
No, but my situation, umpiring at every level. I've done college. Okay, everybody has their strengths, weaknesses. They know the rules that they get mad about, and they learn those.
All right, Tom.
Okay,
Tom,
thanks. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, it's not your fault, Tom. You're an umpire, so you're half blind. Of course you didn't know all the rules.
Let's go back to the phones. Bart is in Lockport. Bart!
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Bart.
I agree with you. I don't understand De La Russa's signing, and here's another problem with it. You go in there and you fire off at him, you know, how does he respond to that? He's 76. He's got two World Series rings.
Three.
Okay. I'm sorry. He looks at you and just goes, yeah, okay. You know, you can't intimidate him. He don't care.
Well, I never said intimidate. I never said intimidate, and I appreciate the call. Did I ever say intimidate?
No.
I said, make a fact of don't swear. Don't threaten. Just simply say, that cannot happen again, or I'll get someone in here who knows the rules to help.
I don't know if you can.
The onus, no, but that's the point. The onus shouldn't be on Rick Hahn to have to go in and fix this. This is a problem that a lot of White Sox fans who weren't in favor of the Tony La Russa hiring saw coming. But
it is on Rick Hahn to fix it now.
Is it? Because as we've been laying out, if it's not your hire,
he's still the GM.
But what is he going to fix? Is he going to go yell at Ethan Katz, Miguel Cairo, Joe McEwing, and say, hey, guys, you got to be – like the previous caller pointed out that there's a power dynamic. Like you can go in and yell at Tony La Russa, and he's just going to be like, dude, let me show you my Hall of Fame. No, but what I'm saying is Tony La Russa has this in his back pocket where he says, I got a Hall of Fame ring. I got three World Series rings.
I don't think Tony's that guy. I don't think he's going to say – get out of my suite. I'm not going to listen to you. I don't think he is.
But I don't think it's not the problem is not that I don't think Tony La Russa is smart and intelligent. He has the skins on the wall to prove that he has been one of the best in the game. The question is, has the game passed him by? And is the current setup of the coaching staff either they didn't know the rule, which is terrible?
Yeah.
Because again, it's a new rule that was emphasized. David Bell in the postgame with the Reds said they knew the rule because in spring training it was pointed out to them that, hey, pitchers don't have to run because
they made it clear.
We don't want them to get hurt. That makes sense. So either the coaching staff didn't know the rules or they're too intimidated to say, hey, Tony, we got to change. We got to get Hendricks he can't run.
All right, off of second base, yeah.
Back to the phones. Ryan's up at Gurney. Hey, Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Do you think when Donovan McNabb forgot the rules in overtime, that hurt his legacy?
That should not have happened. That was embarrassing, and he's admitted that was embarrassing. So that's an irrelevant point. Whether Donovan McNabb knew the overtime rules, correct me if I'm wrong, Hoodie.
Yeah.
Tony La Russa's a freaking Hall of Fame manager, and as Sylvie said yesterday, he's wearing his ring in the dugout. God bless him. He earned it.
I don't know what show you're listening to. I don't know if you what show you're listening to. We're not taking phone calls on those that don't know the rules in sports. That's not the topic today. That's not the topic. The topic is that the White Sox did not know the rule, whether it's Tony La Russa, his coaching staff, and it was an egregious error. You just, in that spot, you just don't have your closer on at second base.
Agreed.
We already talked about several players that were available that you could have had to pinch run. Eaton was not available because he's been banged up. So he was not available at all yesterday.
Okay, but you may disagree with me. If Tony said, I wanted to put Hendricks out there because I believe he's a great base runner and I wanted him there. Okay.
Worse.
We can all go, that's a stupid decision. That's dumb. And he can go, well, it's my team. I'm managing it. And I would say, I thought it was idiotic. You could get him hurt, but it was your choice. He didn't know the effing rule.
And told
That's
everybody.
That's the problem.
And told everybody. Now, there's a choice. As you mentioned, you could just be steadfast and dig your heels in. It's like, well, that's what I want to do. I want to lead Garcia. I wanted to him to take an extra 90 feet, get him in scoring position. That was what I wanted to do.
Let me ask you a question.
And by the way, half the coaches that you know would have said that. Like, I didn't know the rule, but I'm not going to tell them I didn't know.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If he said at the press conference yesterday, yeah, I know what the freaking rule is, James Fegan of The Athletic. But guess what? Abreu's a big dude, and I thought Hendricks gave us a better chance to score there. I was willing to take the risk. We could all go, well, that's a dumb, weird move, but whatever. I didn't know the rule. That's what set the world on fire in Sox Nation.
Right, Jeff?
Yeah, and Cap, to your point, you could even make the argument after you go into that. You can think about it. And Liam Hendricks, actually, when he was advancing to third, he actually made a decent base running move to avoid the third baseman at the time and get to third. So even if we would all be like, eh, I don't agree with that at all, it's you can create a defense whether we like it or not. But then, and on top of admitting he didn't know the rule, he then admits he didn't want to bunt with Billy Hamilton because Liam Hendricks was on third base and he didn't want contact at the plate.
Yes.
You've put yourself in a position where the only thing Billy Hamilton can really do well at the plate is bunt, but you cannot bunt because your self-imposed rule of having Hendricks on third base is your own creation.
He only wants Hamilton for singles and bunts. I know that's all he could do, but that's what he said.
Agreed. Back to the phones. Joe's in Mokena. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Morning, Joe.
My question is, hey, how you guys doing? Do you think it was probably ego that got in his way? Because I think common sense comes to mind when you're starting an inning. I would think to myself, wait a minute, why is my pitcher stuck at second? I'm not going to have that. Let me go ask the ump. Do you think his ego got in the way? He wasn't going to go ask anybody about it? Or do you think he really did not, like, care to know the rule? Because that just seems like common sense that you don't want your pitcher out there to start the inning off, right?
Joe, if you are managing the ball club and I'm on your coaching staff, I would say, yeah. Joe, it doesn't look right that our closer is at second base. We got to change this. We got to pinch run. There's got to be something where we can get him off of there because, hold on, Joe. We got an off day today, so I can use the entire bullpen. I don't have to bring Hendricks back. I don't have to do that, right?
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Like, it just looks weird anyway to have him out there at second base. You want anybody else on your roster that's a position player, other than pitchers or maybe Dylan Cease, to be out there at second base, right?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Do you think like his ego got in the way? He didn't want to ask anybody because he didn't want nobody to know that he didn't know the rule.
I don't know, Cap. Your thoughts, sir? We appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Hey,
I don't think his ego got in the way. I truly think it just got by him. I truly believe it just got by him. He assumed what he knew the rule was, and it got by him. It would be like a late-game situation, me standing on the sideline, and after the game go, why didn't you take a timeout there? Well, I took X number. Did you not know you got a new one in overtime? Oh, I didn't know that. We got an extra timeout over. I'll have to learn that rule. I'm an idiot.
The late Jerry Tarkanian, when he was coaching the San Antonio Spurs, in the second half of a game, burned through all his timeouts. By the time it was like 10 minutes left in the game, went through all his timeouts. And the assistant says, Coach, you know you have 30s in the NBA, right? And Tark's like, I didn't know.
Yeah. But at least he had a guy in his staff that knew.
He burnt through all his timeouts with like 10 minutes left in the game. He's just
I'm out of timeout.
You know, you can do it.
All right.
A 30, right?
We'll get to more calls, but Anthony Rizzo is going to check in with us on his off day. It's coming up next.
This is Cap and J Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, back to the phones we go. 312-332-3776. Phone lines are on fire, man.
So we're just going to keep taking calls, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right.
That's correct. Let's go to Eddie on the north side. We've been south a lot today.
Yeah.
Going to the north side. And we find Eddie. Eddie, what's going on, Sparkles?
Bring him up, Jeff.
Eddie. All right, Eddie.
We missed out on Eddie from the north side.
Let's go back to the south side because they've been way more reliable. We'll go to Matt in Beverly. 312-332-3776. Hey, Matt.
I'm jealous.
Hey, what's up, guys? quick question. So, hypothetically speaking, I know that you're going to say, oh, Jerry will never fire La Russa, but if this trend keeps continuing, who do you think that they'll hire going forward? Hypothetically speaking, I know.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, Matt. Let's just, since we're putting out hypotheticals, does TLR walk away or would Jerry have to let him go? Can you fire your friend twice?
Yeah, I think La Russa would probably have to walk away. I don't think Jerry will ever fire him.
Right.
I
mean, yeah, right. So. That's why. Like La Russa's here as long as he wants to be here.
Okay, let me give you. Yeah. Can I answer that question? And thank you, Matt.
Yeah.
Can I answer that question?
Mic's open.
There is a guy sitting in a TV studio. His name is
Frank
Ozzie
Thomas.
Guillen.
Frank Thomas. What is
Ozzie Guillen?
Garfine?
Ozzie Guillen. I'm just telling you, man.
You just tell me what.
Okay, let's assume.
That's enough, JR.
Let's assume. I don't see TLR walking away during the season. And let's forget they're tied for first. No. Jerry's not firing him. Let's assume they make the playoffs and they are out in the first round. But, boy, the arrow looks like it's coming up. These guys are getting healthy. And Tony says, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. This is it. I would hire Ozzie Guillen in a freaking second. I love Ozzie Guillen. I'm a huge fan of that guy.
But the team is winning.
All right.
The team's winning, right?
So White Sox are tied for first. So,
like I said, there's more positives than negatives with the White Sox.
No question.
It's just that this is an egregious era.
Correct.
Yesterday.
I want to ask Anthony Rizzo. He joins us now. Brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers and Valparaiso University. Dear driver, hurry in and save Toyota. Riz, good morning. We'll get to your game-winning walk-off in a second.
Yes.
Do you feel like, because there's all this consternation over what Tony La Russa said, I didn't know the rule yesterday, do you feel like you as a baseball player know the rule book, so if something took place, you'd say, yeah, I knew that rule?
Yeah, for the most part. Usually, I'll be honest, once a year there's something that happens that you're like, oh, I didn't know that. And really, last night, in our game, a pinch hitter made the last out in extras, and the eight-hole hitter was the first guy to be on second base for the team the next inning, which the umpires huddled up, and I didn't know that was the rule on that. So I guess that's technically one of the ones that I just learned this year that
but at least
the same thing. But what was the rule? I didn't see the La Russa thing. What was the rule that he didn't know?
So he did not know because he put his closer on base in extra innings.
Liam Hendricks,
because he did not know that he could have, because he's a pitcher, could have put Jose Abreu back out, who had made the out before that, and he had Hendricks out there. They get him over to third, and now he has a guy try to steal, gets thrown out. And he said, yeah, I would never have let our closer run from third, and I did not know the rule that I could have used Abreu, and he's getting destroyed nationally for it.
So, basically the same thing last night, because, I mean, the umpires even gathered last night because Gavin Lux ended up running, and it was supposed to, A.J. Pollock pinch hit, so, yeah, similar thing. I didn't know that either, so, but I just usually just go to my line. I just play first base and try to stay in my lane.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you're not the manager. I mean, you want to be able to know as many rules as possible, but the manager and the staff are supposed to know. They have the book. They got everything they need to know. I want to know about your game-winning home run yesterday and talk about the Dodgers series. What were you looking for at that pitch?
Yeah, I faced Clevinger the night before. He threw me two fastballs, and he started me off with a fastball away and then a slider. So I fouled off one of his best sliders. So I kind of had a lane of, you know, where his to start the slider and whatnot, and threw me a fastball away, and I just two strikes. And I was really just in battle mode there, two strikes. And fortunately, when I hit it, no one was standing at the shortstop. Usually the times I hit the ground ball that way, there's someone standing there. But last night, it worked out.
So I watched the game last night, and I watch you get that hit. And normally they're tearing your jersey, and you're getting punched in the rib cage and the whole deal.
Right.
You sprinted right for the stairs because Javi was hot on your trail. Take us inside that moment. What was going through your mind?
I've been messing around thinking that I'm fast and telling guys I'm fast. They couldn't catch me. I was too fast. I think I made a pretty good juke move too, in there. So, but yeah, maybe I could, run some routes for Justin Fields here in the near future.
That'd be great.
How cool is that moment?
Yeah, it was it felt good, especially the night before winning. And then, you know, that the weird double play last night that could have really cost us the game. Mm-hmm. Coming back there, Duffy was two outs getting that knock. It was a nice win. Nice win with the Dodgers. Obviously, they're scuffling, but you got to take advantage of that, and we did.
So what does that feel like for the ball club, though, Anthony? Like, going in, you know, it's the champions, it's the Dodgers, and then being able to knock out, first of all, Kershaw. Cap and I were talking about Kershaw. I expected him to come back out in the second inning. He did not. You guys knocked him out in the first. Same thing with Bauer. What does that feel like to be able to beat the Dodgers? How much momentum do you feel like you have after that series?
Well, I think in baseball, momentum is, you know, you can gain it in an instant, you can lose it in an instant, right? So I said last night in our interview, we're just on a straight roller coaster right now. We're going straight up and we're going straight down, it feels like. And that's okay. I mean, this part of the season where you're on the roller coaster and you're riding it high and riding it low. I mean, we come off a terrible road trip and we sweep the Dodgers. So just got to level out. But I think the biggest thing for us is offensively starting off so terribly now over these past couple weeks or so. It's just getting more of that confidence every single night that, okay, all right, sorry, we'll get it right back. And, you know, that hit by Duffy last night was just more confidence instilled in our offense as a unit. Like, it's all right, we're never out of it. It's not over. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, it's a good point, Anthony, because the other night, it looks like you're going to get a doubleheader sweep, and boom, they get a run, and then Justin Turner golfs one out. I'm like, oh, boy, just gave this thing away. And, you know, Kimbrel's been nothing but awesome since last September,
yeah. And
he gives up the home run, and I'm thinking, what a night for – and then Javi responds. Or you get 16 runs one day, or you get a big night there. The offense, you lost the game on Sunday against the Reds, but you scored 12 runs. It feels better. It's got to feel better in the room, right?
Yeah, it does. And you know, the numbers are saying it as well, as far as, you know, for 2-3 weeks, our offense has been at the top. And like I said, it's when you start off so bad, you're always going to have, oh, man, damn it, you know, that little man creeping in. But as we continue to play and get through the season and level out, just every little thing, like you just said, Cap, you know, we 12 runs at the Reds, back and forth, good game, we lost, obviously, but Bodie, Javi, Duffy, me, it's just getting those knocks just instills confidence as a unit. And, you know, individual confidence is very important, but when you get the whole unit feeling a certain way, that's when really good things happen.
Riz, jump in our conversation. I want to talk to Anthony Rizzo of the Chicago Cubs. Just Anthony Rizzo, the baseball fan. So Cap and I were talking about the piece written by Jason Stark about the numbers that we see in the month of April in baseball. So just for baseball across the board, on-base percentage is the lowest it's been since 1968 at .309. The slugging's at .389, lowest since 2014. Teams are averaging 7 hits a game. And baseball overall in April hitting .232. Now, when Cap and I were talking about it, some of this could be weather. Some of it could be the lineups being in and out because of COVID or whatever. What do you attribute that to? Because from my seat, I'm like, okay, home runs are cool, but there's got to be in between. I want to see more singles and doubles, and I want to see the line moving more often than not. So what do you look at with baseball when you hear those numbers in the month of April? What does that mean to you?
I think a number of things. I think with this shift, guys are in such good position now that I can literally probably pick someone off the street as long as they can catch a ball and put them somewhere on the field with any hitter, because there's just so much data on it. And that's really tough. You know, you hit a ball, a line drive up the middle, and there's a guy standing there. You know, usually for a very long time in this game, that's a base hit, right? And same with righties and lefties, hitting the balls in the shift, hard line drives that are just right at guys. That's one thing. And then this is going to get pretty nerdy for me, but these pitcher spin rates are at an all-time high for some reason, somehow. And I know they're doing testing with MLB, but hopefully that testing gets a little expedited quicker, because, I mean, every single pitcher is going to this rub or something that's just elevating their spin rate it's insane how high these numbers are getting.
Cap, do you think that baseball relievers are the best that we've seen? Like, I'm seeing just Indians or whatever game I'm watching, middle relievers are throwing at 90, 93, 95, and just like are over the plate. And like, middle relievers weren't doing that before. Quote unquote, those are supposed to be the worst players on your team.
Right.
Right. But not really. And they're bigger now than ever before. Is that. Do you see that on your team, or is just mine?
Yeah, do you see that from your perspective? Like, normally, like the movie Moneyball, he goes, we're going to get through that starter and get into the soft part of their bullpen. Soft part of their bullpen, there's like 7 guys that throw 98.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the soft part of the bullpen now is pretty much experiments. Guys up there that are trying to develop and just throw them in there, let them take their licks. And that's what you have to do at times, is just take your licks in the big leagues and learn. But, yeah, it used to be grind out the starter. Now it's almost you want to face the starter 2 or 3 times just because you have more of a feel for what he has. And guys are throwing a lot harder now. And I think as hitters, we'll counter it again and just start getting on top of baseballs more. But it is what it is. You just got to keep going.
If you heard MLB announce, okay, we've done 8 weeks of data, 10 weeks, 12, whatever it is, and guess what? We figured something out here. The spin rates are abnormal, and we believe pitchers are using whatever it is to increase grip or to make it a little stickier, to be able to snap the ball a little faster. Would you go, I knew it! There's no way all these guys could be spinning it like that. Would it stun you?
It wouldn't at all. Just the spin stuff is it's just pretty crazy when you really get into it in depth on how much of a difference it makes as far as the fastballs and even the sliders. And, I mean, not to discredit any – these guys, they work so hard and – all these different programs and throwing programs and technology. And you can credit Trevor Bauer for kind of being one of the pioneers in this. Everyone thought he was crazy for, you know, the driveline stuff and in a long toss program when he first came in, but you see a lot of these guys now using the weighted balls and just increasing their velocity. You know, sticky stuff or not, guys are still throwing 100 miles an hour, and it's you know, it's credit to all these pitchers and taking advantage of the technology and continuing to push the human body.
Hey, before we let you go, any big plans for the off day? Emily got you on a honey-do list. What are you doing?
No, nothing. We were just going to relax and really just kind of enjoy. You know, yesterday I had the day off. Obviously came in late, but the 2 days off, it'd be pretty nice for the body for a nice reset here for the next really probably till the All-Star break.
All right, enjoy some good food and have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
You're the man. There he is, Anthony Rizzo, brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Dear driver, hurry in and save Toyota and Valparaiso University. Be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
This hour of Cap and Jay Hood is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. The VA loan is one of the best benefits of being in the military. Get the loan you deserve. And apply online today at HeroLoan.com. We always have our conversations in the IDOT bullpen. And IDOT, driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at LifeOrDeathIllinois.com. And
I was waiting for the here's David Kaplan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here's David Kaplan.
Thanks, John. This hour brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. The VA loan is one of the best benefits of being in the military. Get the loan you deserve and apply online today at HeroLoan.com.
Also, we always have our conversations in the IDOT bullpen.
That's correct.
IDOT, yeah, we got to talk about IDOT as well.
I love being in the IDOT bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
We get feisty.
Yes.
And we didn't get to the Bill and Melinda Gates story. I want to get to that this maybe tomorrow.
But we always have our IDOT bullpen.
Yep, driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com.
We didn't get to the Bill and Melinda Gates. You're right about that.
I know, I got sidetracked.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's not, speaking of things we did not get to, Hoodie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We did not, you know what we missed yesterday? Well, I don't want to say we.
Not we, Cap.
Cap, do you know what you missed yesterday?
Yeah, what I missed?
Well, I'll let the Black and Abdallah, your two favorite nighttime show hosts, explain.
All right, what's going on here? People at this station love this day in history.
I thought we used to do on this day every single day.
Isn't that something that people do here? Everyone loves it. Hey, it's a day in the spring. Michael Jordan did something in the playoffs or in the NBA Finals. What do you think about it?
Guess what? It's
Jordan did something.
It's
what
Tom,
do you think?
It's Tom Jones' birthday.
Hey, here's it's something. Unusual it's, to be where's our guy, David Kaplan? His horse, Secretariat, won the Kentucky Derby on this day in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
Did they play the highlight?
Secretariat throws.
Did they play the call of the horses?
Getting together, and here we go.
And they're off.
And they're off. There they go.
On the inside, that's Angelite for the lead. On the outside, Shecky Green, Royal and Regal. Then on the rail, it's Restless Jet.
There's, there's Secretariat. He's seen an airplane. That's why he started off the rail.
Look at him go. He's at last because he saw a little girl.
He's seen an airplane.
And he waited for her to take a picture.
He took a picture. He took a picture with the little girl. And now here comes Secretariat. Secretariat around the turn. Secretariat around the turn. Let's hope there's no more airplanes or else Secretariat won't be able to finish the race. Secretariat around the turn.
Beautiful today.
There's Secretariat. And
finally, Secretariat. I talk about Secretariat enough for a horse that's been dead since 1989.
The greatest of all
time. My favorite athlete.
But did you miss it? Talk about him enough. Did you miss it? Yes or no?
No, I watched it on YouTube.
So you knew yesterday was the anniversary?
Yes.
Your favorite athlete you didn't mention on your radio show?
Our radio show, and no, I didn't, because I mentioned it the other day. I talked about it.
I can't believe Cap didn't mention it on his radio show. You're right, Danny.
I can't believe on his radio show he didn't bring it up.
That's unbelievable. By the way,
because I pay
attention to you.
No. Oh, do you?
As you said, just to read the poll results, the announcement that the Bears had drafted Justin Fields the most exciting moment in Chicago sports since the Cubs won the World Series in 2016. As Jonathan asked me to do, yes. I'll just simply give you the results. 3,000 votes in so far, 66%. Yes.
My friend, was there really a Shecky Green?
There was a horse named Shecky Green.
The comedian.
Correct.
That's
named after the comedian. That is correct.
Go ahead, Danny.
Quickly, there's someone on line one that needs to talk to us about said Secretariat.
Oh, God, is this a horse again?
Cap, this is Secretariat from heaven. How dare you forget my anniversary run. I thought you were a fan. It breaks my big horse's heart.
I've heard it all.
Secretariat joins us here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. Sec, let me ask you, what's it like right now in horsey heaven? Your thoughts, sir?
Well, I've got a mare here with me. I think that's what you call it. And it's making up for the fact that Cap forgot my anniversary.
Wow. Secretariat with us here on Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. Sec, I'll ask you this. Horse racing today.
Sec?
Yeah. Secretariat. So the bottom line is, I want to find out your thoughts about horse racing today versus when you horse. Are they even close to how good you were?
That's ridiculous, Hoodie. My heart was twice as big, even though Cap broke it yesterday.